to me, he's a forever, that's for sure. He was one of the best guys that you could possibly imagine working with, and if you thought it sounded like fun here, it truly was.
Today's sports hero, Mitch Berg. Mitch faced a lot of lead today. You had quite a few parade in front of the gun today. Mitch, how does it feel to just waste them?
Well, Bruce, I like to say I came to play, and you can just throw away the record book.
Yeah, you can.
And that's okay.
Thank you very much, Mitch Berg. Today's sports hero, the scorer, Mitch 6, characters nothing.
It's our last sports cast we're going to do together.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
It will be a lot on this, David. We went into sports at the beginning. You heard La Bamba. And the genesis of that was it didn't make any sense.
Okay.
Vogel just found it one day, and he said and he started playing it before the sports cast every afternoon, and it made no sense, and he found humor in that, and then everybody else did, too. The non sequitur nature of stuff always appealed to him. What have we got? What do you want to do
all
now?
All right, now we have something lined up from the past, and I think it's back from 1987, called The Phantom Caller.
Oh, great, The Phantom. Yeah, this one's great.
The Phantom Caller, the first cut you're going to hear, we're going to let both play back-to-back. The first one's called Terrorist in Space, and then the other one has to do with No Santa Claus.
You're talking non sequitur.
Now, what's the background with this Phantom Caller?
There were people that would call up, and they would disguise themselves in one way or the other, As you know, being a producer and a phone screener. Mm-hmm. This guy would call up and say, he was Bob from Roseville. And we'd get Bob on the air, and it would turn out to be the Phantom Caller. Next time, it would be Joe from Edina. And it would be different every time. So he'd get through, and nobody could figure out who he was, and then he'd get on and he'd do this kind of stuff.
We'll have to do an edition of that soon. Hello, Jason.
I'm just a lonely terrorist in space. An oh, so lonely terrorist stuck in space. So far away from the human race, no city structures to deface. Oh, what a disgrace to be a terrorist stuck in space. I have a gun, but I have no cause. In space, you can't even break the laws. I miss the artillery barrage, parading around in camouflage. Oh, to return to my birthplace, to let a terrorist stuck in space. A boonie doll, hear my call. Arafat, please let's chat. The Red Brigade, the IRA, they seem so terribly far away. To a terrorist stuck in space. If anyone's ever up this way, traveling to galaxies far away, have mercy on this terrorist so misplaced. This lonely terrorist is stuck in space.
The first call of the year from the beloved Phantom Caller on talk radio. Do we have time for another one here? Dave.
And second cut.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our afternoon program, shall we? Go to the phones. Why not as well? Jim.
Oh, Christmas. I remember Christmas as a boy. I remember once waking up real early in the morning, black of the morning turning into a gray-blue, and the cool air slipping in under the covers. I wiped the sand out of my eyes and climbed out of bed. The house was silent, but I heard a strange rustling downstairs. Could it be, I thought, could it be him? I walked to the edge of the stairs and began to slowly climb down. When I got to the bottom, I looked up, and there under the tree was some fat boxer shorts. Hey, you're not Santa.
Shut up, kid, or I'll sweat all over you. You got any razors here? I'm looking for an electric razor.
Mommy, Daddy, we're being robbed.
I said, shut up, in this bag or you won't have a mommy.
That was Christmas at my house.
It's beautiful. People, when the Phantom Caller is calling, don't try to call him up, because then we hear that call waiting click. For heaven's sakes. Show a little taste, a little class, will you? When the Phantom Caller calls, do not call him.
KSTP AM 1500, the best of Vogel, some of the classic bits. Let's go to KSTP News.
Good evening. This is Tom Hauser in the Eyewitness Newsroom. A woman convicted of killing her adopted child walked out of prison today, but the controversy around her continues. 69-year-old Lois Juergens went to prison 8 years ago after being convicted of killing her 3-year-old adopted child. The child died 2 decades earlier, But police did not investigate until the child's biological mother searched for her child in the mid-1980s. The mother, Jerry Sherwood, says Juergens should have stayed in prison for life. Teenagers in America are showing more and more health problems. Researchers at Johns Hopkins University say violence and drug and alcohol abuse are contributing to a health crisis among adolescents. And U.S. teen pregnancy rates continue to be among the highest of developed nations. That report is in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Remember the Iowa man who drove his lawnmower to Wisconsin to visit his ailing brother? Well, now he's going Hollywood. 74-year-old Elvin Strait has signed a contract with a Hollywood production company for the exclusive rights to his story. Strait gained national attention last summer when he rode an old riding lawnmower to visit his brother. Strait can't drive a car because of poor eyesight. And now for a quick check on the weather. Currently, it is 67 degrees in the Twin Cities and still a few scattered thunderstorms. That's the latest. From the Channel 5 Eyewitness Newsroom, I'm Tom Hauser, KSTP News.
Mark Fisher loves the fish bass tournaments, especially the Don Shelby U.S. Invitational at the Boatworks. And Mark has a story to tell.
I was a customer of the Boatworks long before I ever bought a boat. The very first year of the Don Shelby U.S. Invitational, I was in the dark coming across Crystal Bay, and it was probably about 4:15 in the morning. I'm coming across Crystal Bay, and all of a sudden, I broke down. I radioed into the Boatworks and told them I was broken down. The Boatworks said, no problem, we're coming to tow you in. At that point, this has nothing to do with the tournament. This is the Boatworks hospitality. They came off, they sent a boat, they towed me in, they put me in another boat, so I was able to fish the tournament that day. And from that day on, I've never forgotten them. And that's why I came back and bought a Ranger from the Boatworks. Everybody says hi, no matter who you are. And everybody takes care of you, no matter what you bought. They're a first-class operation. They don't forget that a sale's a sale.
Come out to the Boatworks. Get out of town today. 2 minutes on the Boatworks. We're with you all the way.
Remember your first car? KSTP AM 1500 and your local professional florist wish to thank Loopy at Bargain Lot for those moments to remember.
I found my thrill with Donnie Vogel. Big Donnie Vogel on KSTP.
KSTP AM 1500, Bruce Gordon. And welcome to the afternoon saloon, where we're all raising a glass to Donnie Baby this afternoon. I want to mention the phones have gone nuts. The phantom caller was David Ruth.
Yes, it was our 9 to 11 personality currently. Yes, Tommy Mischke. And people are just going crazy.
Just absolutely nuts.
Yes.
He should actually call himself a couple of times tonight.
Yes, he should.
Do that.
Matter of fact, that's part of the way he got his job here at the station.
That's right. He became intriguing to Vogel. Vogel had him in, and he sat in that chair right there.
Uh-huh.
And that was a friendship that began that way. All right. Speaking of the Heaven Hotline, as I have been apt to mention this afternoon, Vogel was the one that invented it and was able to bring you such celebrities as a former president.
This is Mr. T. And I want to wish everybody a happy Valentine's Day from one sweetheart to another sweetheart.
Thank you, Mr. T. Oh, yeah. Richard Nixon's dead. Mm-hmm. He died last Friday night.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, tell me about it, tell me about it, tell me about it, tell me about it. You know that Richard Nixon's dead?
Oh, yeah.
He died last Friday night.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's all over for the trickster. Now there ain't nothing can make him a thing. Oh, yeah, baby.
Tom Vogel's going blind out of my mind in the afternoon saloon. We thought we would talk to Mr. Nixon on the Heaven Hotline since he is now there. He'll be his body will be buried Wednesday, but we know where his soul is, and we know know where the essence of the man is, and so we have him online. So we thought we'd say good afternoon to him. Mr. Nixon, it's Don Vogel. Good afternoon, sir.
Hello, Don. Very nice to talk to you and all your fine listeners. Oh, that music stirs up my cockles.
Well, I imagine even at this point you like your cockles stirred. I know we all do. I'd like to ask you, sir, the big question that everybody wants to know when somebody does perish. What's it like?
Well, you know, it's a little scary at first, but you know, after a while, when you get where you want to go, as I did, what they do is they call you in and they have a little talk with you.
Who does?
Well, you know, I can't say exactly who, but the heaven people.
The heaven people.
That's right. They call you in, each one of their new residents, and they talk to you.
What kind of stuff do they ask you?
Well, they ask you basically, what do you think you did wrong on Earth? What do you think you did right? And then they tell you what they think you did wrong. And, of course, you don't argue with them because you don't want to go to the other place.
I understand. So what do they say you did wrong, basically?
Well, you know, I was so damn paranoid. If I had I had this self-fulfilling prophecy. You know what those are, Don?
Well, yeah, that's when you believe something strongly and all of a sudden you make it happen. You sort of fulfill your own prophecy.
Thus the name, self-fulfilling prophecy. And let me make this perfectly clear. I did that.
How so?
Well, I mean, I hated the media, and I thought the media was against me. And the more and more I thought about it, the more they were against me. And the more I acted upon the fears that they were against me, the more they were against me, damn it.
So if you would have just been cooler, not worried so much about the media, about reporters, you would have been fine.
Why, of course, for crying out loud. Look at Clinton. Look at all the crap he's done. He gets away with it because he doesn't give a rip.
So if you just hadn't given a rip, you would have been fine.
Of course I would have.
Well, gee, I'm glad. It's too bad you didn't know that when you were on Earth, but...
Well, I'd rather know it now than never. You know, since I've been up here, interesting things have happened. I've gotten to know JFK a little bit better. You know, on Earth, I couldn't stand the bastard.
I know you two, of course, had your great run for the presidency together and a lot of debating, and he sort of showed you up.
Well, look, yeah, he showed me up, but I was sick. If I'd have gone on TV and said, you know, Americans, I don't feel well. If I'd have done that, if I'd have shown that human side, people would have felt sorry for me. They would have thought, boy, that Nixon, what a trooper. Talking to the American people despite the fact that he's got the flu. But I didn't do that.
Well, sometimes you just live and learn. Of course, in your case, I guess you die and learn.
That's a good one, Don. Well, you know, I think Jack Kennedy found a babe for me, so I'm going to be taking my leave. See you later, Don, and hail to the president.
Hail to the president.
Yeah, hail to the president. The Heaven Hotline. If only I had the technology. It's KSTP AM 1500. Bruce Gordon, some classic Vogel material. And this stuff, David Ruth from...
This is back in...
Must be about 86, 87, I suppose.
I'm guessing that. I don't have the date written down on this next one here.
Doesn't make any difference. It was classic stuff. The thing that I tried to explain to people, and when Vogel and I would talk about what I admired about this, about his work, was that he would always stand on the line. You know, sometimes he would teeter a little bit more this side. Well, you can't do that. Don invented political incorrectness. And this was one of those times when, you know, we were supposed to be Minnesota Nice, and, well, it got to me, and I made Don accountable for it at this time.
12-5.
Once again, the Mets 12-5 to beat the Boston Red Sox.
You have to sneeze anymore, Mitch? Are you okay?
No, but I feel a bit of flu coming on here.
Well, good. Just feel free to cough in all of our faces. We like when our faces are coughed in.
Got a bucket,
it's
Bruce.
It's just beautiful. if you feel a need to vomit.
Oh, come on now. Now knock it off.
What? I'm sorry.
That's enough of that.
I'm sorry.
That's enough. We've taken this bit far enough.
Yes, we have.
And this vomit stuff, I don't even want to talk about that.
Don't mention it again, then.
Well, for Pete's sakes, people ought to know, you ought to know, that it's not in very good taste.
To say what?
To say that word.
What word?
That vomit word.
The vomit word.
Well, people, just knock it off.
People say
knock it off.
Look, if there was a doctor on Owen Spann's show, a lady would call up and say, Dr. Johnson, my child keeps vomiting. And it'd be okay because she was on Owen Spann's show and she's asking a question to a medical doctor.
Yeah, but you're trying to make
he
a comedy
in the daytime,
good out of
he vomits at nighttime. It'd be okay then.
But you're trying to do comedy with
I'm
it.
I'm not.
It's cheap. It's cheap. And the Minneapolis St. Paul listeners deserve better than that.
So if you're trying to make people laugh, then
don't
it's
you
wrong to say the word vomit. But
right.
If it's a medical person, then you can say vomit, 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 vomit. And it's okay. Is that right?
That's what I'm saying.
Is that the way your world looks?
That's the way I see it from my perspective.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, buddy. I think laughter is pretty doggone important, and I'm having a rollicking good time. Okay? And if I want to say vomit a few times and people guffaw, I think it's okay, okay? Can I just say that?
Why do you keep asking me?
Because you keep asking me why I keep asking.
Oh. I see.
So, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong at all with yelling, vomit! So there.
Right,
you have these doctors on. All of a sudden, people can use any word that you can't use ordinarily because they're talking to a doctor. Right?
Well,
they can use words like diarrhea, and it's okay. Because they're talking to a doctor.
Yes, doctor, my son has diarrhea.
You know, they can do it, but it's okay. But if you do it, if you do a comedic sense, then you can't do it.
That's right. It's wrong. You're wrong.
Why?
John,
then they shouldn't use it at all.
Could you clear this up for me?
If it was in the news, if, for example, McDougal said Governor Perpich had diarrhea last evening, then it'd be okay, right?
Have you got a bulletin there, Don, that I don't know about?
No, I was just pointing out that if you had
John's usually on top of these stories.
If you had to
read
out,
in this case, I'd have to be on the bottom, wouldn't I?
Yes, you would. If you had to read out,
stop it, all of you.
if you had to read out the news.
Governor Perpich missed an engagement last night because of severe diarrhea. It'd be okay, right?
But if I say diarrhea, then it's not okay. What's the deal here? Right?
If you said Cal Odeman suffered severe vomiting, it'd be okay.
Right? But if I say it, all of a sudden something's wrong with it. It's not fair. I'm sorry. It's not fair.
I am thinking of all kinds of things here, Donnie, but as a newsman, I can't say them.
I'm being discriminated against.
You cheap talk show host.
I'm being discriminated against.
Any laugh you could get, right?
Laughing is good for the soul.
Oh, gosh.
Oh. See, it's not fair. If people can say those words with doctors, they can say them with me.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
That's very good.
Fine.
I thought, man.
You got to understand that my sides hurt. I laughed too hard working with Don Vogel. It wasn't work. It's ridiculous to call it work. I snuck up to the desk. I took my paycheck every couple of weeks, but we were having too good a time. Let me identify the other people there. John McDougal, of course, and Don Vogel together again today. David Elveen and Mitch Berg were the producers on the program. David Elveen is in is out east. Mitch Berg I've lost track of, and I need to get in touch with. And, of course, me, Bruce Gordon. Now, we got the Southdale thing ready?
Yeah, we're ready to go.
All right. David Ruth has gone through all these tapes. He deserves a lot of credit. The Southdale bit was this. We had a live remote broadcast from Southdale. Don had a bit, an ongoing bit, called the Dare Line. He'd dare people to do things. They do it. They get a valuable prize. And
Don Vogel here. We have the Weekly Wacky, which this week we're going to play some stuff out of our visit to Southdale last week. We went out there, had a great time, and as a part of that, we had the Dare Line, which took place, and we had some unusual dares that people took up, and they were very funny, and we'd like to feature for you now excerpts of the Dare Line.
Dare Line. mind. Do you dare to be different? To do the truly stupid? To be an idiot? Well, then, welcome to Dareline.
Do we have a candidate out there for Dareline?
Yeah.
All right, who we got?
Lisa May.
Lisa? How you doing?
I'm kind of scared, Don.
Oh, well, you understand why. Have you ever heard this Dareline before?
No, I miss it every night, and my husband tells me how funny it is about people throwing eggs on their head.
Yes, well, you're gonna only have to do one thing.
Okay.
To win a Super Baby T-shirt.
All right.
And that's all you have to do is accompany Mr. Bruce Gordon to a department store.
Okay, that's my forte, shopping.
Okay, I want you to go in that department store and yell, "Why aren't you people listening to Vogel?"
That's easy.
And I want you to yell that until somebody answers.
Until
okay?
somebody answers?
Until somebody answers. We have the wireless microphone.
I think we'll go into Donaldson's, Don.
We're going to go into Donaldson's, okay. Bruce Gordon and Lisa are going into Donaldson's. And we're going to listen to what happens.
Okay. All right, Don, we're just at the doorway of Donaldson's.
Uh-huh.
And let's wait until we make sure a bunch of people are gathered around. Okay, Lisa, you ready?
Okay, here she goes.
Why aren't you people listening to Don Vogel? Excuse me, why aren't you listening to Don Vogel?
I was.
Okay.
So there.
Yeah. All right, she gets
some
one.
Other people, Lisa.
Excuse me, sir. Why aren't you out there listening to Don Vogel?
Shopping.
That's
shopping
no,
for a gift.
That's no excuse. I'm sorry.
Okay, come on, sir. Okay,
come on.
Come with us, please. Yeah, and hang your head down, sir. Gift wrapping, sir. This way, please. We'll take you to gift wrapping later. What's your name, sir?
Roger Carrazzo.
Okay, Roger. You're going to be publicly humiliated.
Yeah.
We're not listening to Don Vogel. You would come this way, please. Roger, if you could speed it up. We don't have an hour to do this show. Don, we have Roger here for you. Did you want to say something to him?
Well, I would like to publicly chastise him, yes.
Let's get around to the speaker here so we can...
Certainly would like to meet him.
Yes, Don, Roger's here. If you'd just like to talk to him for a minute.
Roger, what's the deal here, buddy?
Roger.
All right.
A lot of Roger's fans are here today, Don.
Roger, what is the deal here, buddy? I understand you weren't listening to the program?
Girlfriend's birthday.
Feeble excuse, I'd say, sir. So you're getting her a present? Is that what you're telling this audience?
Several presents.
Several presents. Oh, so you're going to make it better for yourself by saying several presents, huh?
Yeah.
How long have you known this alleged girlfriend, sir?
6 months.
And exactly what is your relationship? You considering marriage, or are you still just having a good time, huh?
Still too young to tell.
Oh, too young to tell, which tells me she's not really a serious girlfriend. Is that right, sir? Sir, don't you have other girlfriends, too? Sir?
I'd like to think
sir,
so.
Sir, if it pleased the court, would you please tell us, do you have other girlfriends, too?
I'd like to think so.
You'd like to think so. So this is not your steady girlfriend, right, sir? You're leading this girl on, sir. Is that correct?
No.
All right, sir. What is your relationship with this? Once and for all, what is your relationship with this girl?
A good friend.
All right. The part of the Vogel show that was broadcast live from Southfield back in 85, 6, 7, somewhere around there. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's take a break. It's 551 KSTP AM 1500. It's KSTP AM 1500. I'm Bruce Gordon. I want to personally thank David Ruth for finding all these tapes. It's kind of a pain in the neck going through all of the raw material.
And I'd like to thank Steve Conrad for helping me out, by the way.
Yeah, he did a good job, too, as we were trying to find some of the best of Vogel. There's too much material. I want you to know that I've got the tapes. You know, some guy is signing off his program by saying, "I got the money." Well, you know what? I got something better. I got the tapes. I'm going to be able to sit down. I'm going to relive all these moments when I feel like it, when I need a good laugh. And I hope that that's the way that you remember Vogel, because that's the way he wanted it. And that's the way I choose to remember Mr. Vogel, too. It's been the best. He provided this area with some of the best radio, and maybe underappreciated at times. I tell you, it was some of the best radio the Twin Cities has ever known.
David, thank you very much for the time. I appreciate it. Thanks to my radio station in St. Cloud for allowing me to be here on KSTP AM 1500.
And I'd like to say my condolences to Janet myself. You'll get through it, kid. We love you. We love Don. Now we're going to close with the three closing themes that I had here at the station. AM 1500 KSTP, St. Paul, Minneapolis.